a vague concept in most of Christianity. I have felt that my knowledge of grace is very vague before, and I needed to study it more and understand it. And even in Bible college, I remember a teacher saying, we're going to talk about grace for a while, and I thought, you know, I don't feel like I know much about grace. And he taught some very, very, very simple concepts, and not a lot, even though it's mentioned so much in the Bible. And because grace is used in a couple different ways, and today we just want to talk about what it is, basically. Genesis chapter 6 says in verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the great truths enclosed in the Word of God. Thank you for grace, though I think we don't understand one of the most important things in all of the Bible. Lord, we know enough to be thankful for it and sing about it, how amazing it is. And I pray today you'd help us to understand that better and to appreciate it more. And we thank you for grace and your amazing grace, and we pray for your help in this, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we find this is the first mention of grace in the Bible. Theologians will tell you the law of first mention says that wherever you see something mentioned the first time in the Bible, it's kind of the foundation of that doctrine. I don't know if that's true. The Bible doesn't say that, but it sounds smart, but this is the first time grace is mentioned, and this is important because when grace was found, the entire world was saved. God was ready to destroy the whole world, everybody in the whole entire world. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so the world was saved. And Noah, God saved Noah and his family. And by the way, grace sometimes extends. I've seen that many, many times in many, many families. God does not give your family, your relatives, what they deserve because he's extending grace from you. We should maybe teach on that another week. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is a simple word. It just means favor. But we don't always know what favor means. You can understand it this way. Pleasant terms is another way it's defined in it's explained in the original language. We would say we're in good graces with them. That's the word means. It means good favor with them. And so just to kind of bring it just for us to understand a little bit, if I ask you, and if you try not to sound super spiritual, but just said what you feel, I would say, how many of you have someone that you would rather not, someone you know that you'd rather not them come to your house? How many have someone like that? When you think of that person and they say, I'm coming by tomorrow, you'd go, ugh. And you might not be there when they come. Someone that maybe you would say, you know, I don't really want to do anything for them. They don't deserve any help. They've already burned their bridges. They are, you know, I don't care for them. They are, you know what I'm talking about? Kind of person you say, not that you hate them, not that you don't love them, but they aren't in your good graces. When their caller ID shows up, you don't answer. I don't like much modern technology, but caller ID is not a bad thing. And so you would say that person is not in my good graces. There's someone probably in the world right now, they called you and asked for help, you would not help them. Even though you might be a very generous person, because they burned so many bridges, they've abused help, they don't, they have no favor with you, okay? On the flip side, there's somebody who you wish that you could do more for. You appreciate them so much. You love them so much. You want to be a blessing to them. You smile every time you talk about them, every time you think about them. That's me. And so But every time you think about them, you say, I wish I could do more for them. I love them so much. They make you smile. They're such a blessing. You want to spoil them. Okay, that's grace. You have grace for that person. You have favor. They have favor with you, okay? That's the concept of grace in the Bible. That's what grace is. It's that favor. It's that I want to do good things for this person. This person here is not in my good graces. That's the opposite of that. That's grace in the Bible. And if you can understand that, you have those things and you feel that way about people. That's how God's good grace works. And you have that. Sometimes you get around a gracious people, okay? Hospitable people is another way we would say it. I was in the airport and I was joking with South Africa in the airport there, and what is the name of that airport? Drawing a blank. Big city in South Africa. Johannesburg, there he goes, in Johannesburg. And they didn't have a listing for where our gate was. They don't list it until the last minute there. And I didn't know that, and so I was walking around. I found an information desk, and there was a lady there. And I knew she's Filipina by looking at her. I asked her where in the Philippines you're from, and I was talking about it and about the Philippines and stuff. And then I said, now, do I just pick a gate that I want, or is there a particular gate there that we're supposed to go to? And I started joking with her about this thing, and we were laughing. And she said, no, it won't. We won't know until about an hour before. We don't list it. And I said, okay, where do I go in the meantime? And she says, well, there's restaurants downstairs. And I said, well, are you buying? And she says, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. She was smiling and laughing. I said, you know, I've always noticed Filipinos are very... She says, I know, we're very hospitable, but I can't do it for you. And because Filipinos are... And I was just with one for 2 weeks. They will always feed you. They always take care of you. And in Zambia, in Africa, the same thing. The people are very gracious people. They see you... If they don't have much, they give favor. They're very hospitable and kind, and they do that for strangers. Now, on the opposite of the world, we're in Seattle. We have very little grace. And we say, why are you waving at me or saying hi? I don't know you. I don't like people I don't know, and I don't mostly like people I do know. And we're Seattle people, and we're in our little bubble, and we're not as much hospitable. When we go witnessing here, people do not invite us inside their house even, like they do in some areas, because that's the way we are. We are hermits and inhospitable, and that's kind of our culture. And so we're good at technology and bad at graciousness, and that's kind of us. And so you see different cultures have more of that, and there's some people who aren't very gracious. You've got to be their best friend who's done a bunch of things for them before they'll ever do anything for you. Those are people without grace. They're not sharing the grace that God's given to them, and so we see that we understand those things and being that way. Just a few thoughts on grace. Number one, realize that initial grace is undeserved. Initial grace is undeserved. 1 Timothy, you'll hear somebody talk about grace and they'll say it's God's unmerited favor toward man. That's not true. You can grow in grace by earning some of the grace of God. But God's initial grace towards you, or he favors you, that is nothing to do with your goodness. That has to do with God's graciousness. Okay? And he says here about grace, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, and I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who hath enabled me, having for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I have chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So he says, you know, God's grace was abundant toward me, but I was just chief of sinners. Here's the thing. God in eternity past, because he's a gracious God, as it says many times in Psalms, for example, thou art a gracious God and full of grace and all the things it says about God is God just says, I favor everybody and want them in heaven. So I will die for all their sins. That's grace. That's amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. God has favor towards you, not because you were so wonderful and you were so great. You were a sinner, lost in sin, on your way to hell with all of our sin on us. And yet God had grace and said, I want to save you. I have so much grace, and my grace is so amazing that while you're a sinner, I will let my son die for you. That's the kind of favor I have towards you. That's how much I love you. That's how much I want to save you. And that initial grace is not because of anything you did. It's undeserved. You're unworthy of it. I'm unworthy of it. It's because he's a God of grace. It's just a kindness that God just gives because he is God and because he has grace. And so we have to first of all understand that, because everything's messed up and you don't understand initial grace. Everything in the Christian life, everything in your thinking, everything about salvation. People who believe in work salvation they believe in work salvation because they do not understand grace. That's why they believe in it. They think that there's something they did to make God, there's something they're doing that makes God like them. They think that God said, oh, you've done so many good deeds, you get to go to heaven. They don't understand grace at all. They don't love God oftentimes like they should, because they do not understand how God loved them while they were yet sinners. And so they don't understand grace. They think they're going to earn God's favor, and they are so good that God likes them now, not understanding how good God's been to them, and they don't love him because he first loved them. And so misunderstanding grace is a big problem. Number two, you can only be saved by grace. You can only be saved by grace. Let's go to Ephesians. I got several verses here. I'm reading you out of Ephesians. You can only be saved by grace. Nothing else is going to do it. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No matter what you think, what the religion or the devil has told you, you are not saved by works. It says right there, you're saved by grace. God favors you. God loves you. God wants you in heaven. God died for you. Through faith, you got to trust Christ. God gave the grace to save you. The faith makes you trust him, and that's how you're saved. It's not by works. If it was, people would boast and then get to heaven, talk about how good they were, that they earned their way to heaven. God says, nobody is saved by their works. You're saved by grace. Acts 15. And verse 11, it says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Acts 15. In verse 11. That's the way. No, it's through baptism. Nope. It's through grace. It's through living a good life. No. We believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. Because God looked and said, I want you in heaven. I'm going to die for you. By grace. And then Romans says it really good. Romans 3. We're familiar with Romans 3:23, but also verse 24. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we're justified freely by his grace. By his grace. And so that's what God has for us. You must understand, you cannot get to heaven until you understand you're saved by grace, not by works. See, what mankind, what all religion says, except for the Bible Christianity, all religion and the thoughts of man, all in their pride, all say it is you getting to heaven because of your goodness. And you've earned favor with God. God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I favor you, so I want to save you. It's completely opposite angles. One is you're unworthy, but I love you anyway. I favor you. You're important to me. The other one says, I'm so good, you must accept me. And they're opposite angles. And that's the gamble every person on earth will take. Either I'm good enough, and so God will let me into heaven, or you're so bad, but God has grace for you. And that determines whether you go to heaven or not. And but grace is the only way that you can be saved. Number three, fortunately, the Lord is rich in grace. He's rich in grace. And I should have kept you there. Ephesians again. Let's go back to Ephesians and chapter 2. God is rich in grace. Grace is similar to mercy. Someone said, I like this. It's mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. So in other words, mercy does not punish you. Grace gives you good things and saves you and puts you in the right favor. And so mercy says, you deserve this, but I'm not going to do it. Grace says, you deserve this, but I'm going to give you these things. And that's what grace does. Fortunately, the Lord is rich in grace. Ephesians chapter 2, it says verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we are dead in our sins, has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is rich in mercy and full of grace, and he says in the ages to come, he's going to show us. For eternity, it's going to take a while for us to get it, just how much grace he gave us. Have you ever had someone that you loved that you just kept on helping and kept on going the extra mile for and kept on, and then again and again and again, and just kept on doing something for them, and then maybe they blow it again and you do it again, and just over time you just, that they mistreat you sometimes, but you always treat them right. You just over and over and over, and they don't even know how much you bit your tongue and how much you didn't say what you wanted to say, and how many times that you and how many people criticize you, and how much trouble you went through to be kind to them. You ever had that? That's what God says. You don't get it. You don't know how much grace I've given you. And I there's so many things that I could have zapped you for. There's so many things I blessed you with when I was so frustrated with you. See, he's rich in grace, fortunately. Some of us, there's a lot of things we can do to grace, and we'll talk about that next week. But a lot of us make God have a lot of grace toward us. But fortunately, the Lord is rich in that grace. There's so much of it that he has to spend a lot of eternity explaining it to us because we don't understand it. Next, it is more powerful than sin. It is more powerful than sin. Romans 5. There's a song that was, it was a good Christian song. Came out back in the 80s. It was Calvary's Love. And it was a great song. It talked about the deepest sin can't rise above Calvary's love. And the good thing is, sin is wicked. Sin is terrible. Sin is dark. Sin stains. It's not a laughing matter. It's a terrible, evil, wicked thing. And we've got to get that back in our mind, in our churches. Fools make a mock at sin, the Bible says. It's serious business. It is terrible and evil. And sometimes when you get a hold of it, just how bad it is and just how what we've done and how rotten we've been, sometimes we could go and think there's no way God can forgive me, but we don't understand that God's grace is greater than sin. And Romans chapter 5, and it says, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might be abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus. Grace reigns. It's so powerful. Sin is bad, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. More sin, more grace. More sin, more grace. More sin, more grace. God's grace is more powerful and abounds above sin. And that's why God says, though your sin be as scarlet, it should be as white as snow. Why? Because grace is greater. God's grace is so amazing, it's greater than the badness of sin. Think about that. God has grace for you no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. It makes you understand your relationship. It makes you love God more. It makes you appreciate that. It is, grace is so good. Grace is so amazing that the Bible has to warn you, don't abuse it. And there's a lot, next chapter, right after this verse, next verse, it starts immediately in on that. Hey, grace is amazing, but don't take it for granted. Don't abuse it. Don't. No. It's good. It should make you love God enough to obey Him. Because God saves you completely and saves you the uttermost does not mean that you should go ahead and sin. It's the opposite. It should mean you should not sin. It means you should not take God for granted. It means that that's what bad people do. Bad people, when you help them out, go below everything you help them with, expecting you to help them again. That's what bad people do. And so God says, hey, I have lots and lots and lots and lots of grace for you, but don't abuse it. Don't abuse it. And then he goes into why. We'll get into that next week, and things you can do to grace and things that happen when you do that, because God does have an answer for that. So that's initial grace. That's the grace that saves us. That's the grace where God comes in and just says, okay, I've got this for everybody. The grace of God that brings salvation to all men hath appeared to all men. The grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Isn't that amazing? God has grace to save everybody. For God so loved the world, it's appeared to all men. God said, here is grace for every human being. Everybody has initial grace. I will save whosoever will may come. And so God says, I have grace for everybody. That gets rid of all the theologians and their Calvinism. There's grace for all men. Doesn't mean they all will. But the worst in the world, God says, I love you anyway. I want to save you. I have grace to save you. Now, grace does more than that. Grace takes us into salvation. But then in everyday life, and we won't be able to get into all of it today, maybe another week. In everyday life, grace is the spiritual gas that you burn in life. It takes you and gives you what you need. You live by grace in your life. Grace, the grace of God, you need His favor all the time. And when you have His favor, it gives you the strength to make it every day. His grace helps us in for everyday living. Let's go to 2 Timothy. We need grace for everyday living. See, without the favor of God, you're not blessed. Without the favor of God, you don't have miraculous strength. You don't have the blessing you need. Yes, His favor will save you, but then you need to grow in grace so that you can have more of God's favor on you and more of His blessing, and so that He can help you and give you what you need, and so that you'll have the presence of God because He needs to favor you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse... I'm wrong. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 here. It says, "As thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. So be strong in the grace." I want to say grace gives you strength in trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When you go through trials, one of the things you'll find is there are times when God has given you great, 2 Corinthians 12, when God has given you great grace, you'll feel the grace of God. It's a favor towards you. And that grace gives you strength. That favor of God gives you enough to make it in any kind of trial. It keeps you going. It gives you hope. It makes you have the strength. It's what grace does. And Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 12 with his thorn in the flesh. "Unless I should be exalted above measure," verse 7, "through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Notice His strength in this. He has something that just drives him crazy, and he can't handle it, and it's so hard, and he says, God, remove this thing from me. God says, no, I'm going to give you grace instead, and my favor towards you will be enough to make it through this. You need this thing. And he says, I most gladly will glory in my troubles, that this grace will be upon me, because God gives more grace, and he does that. And he says, I will glory in my infirmities. Notice his strength. Most of the time, when we are troubled and worn down and have some burden and are being buffeted by Satan, we often lose our strength and lose our determination. But Paul had great grace on him. And so he said, I'll glory in my infirmities, that it'll make the power of Christ rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distresses. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It gives you great grace. Many other things. The grace of God gives us gifts. When God favors you, you get more gifts from God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. So we'll go through some time, but show you that when grace is upon you, God is favoring you, and he's blessing you, and he's helping you, and he is doing great things for you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. We were in a church there in Zambia, and we have some pictures, and I interviewed the pastor a little bit, but this pastor is just doing a great job, and he's in an area about 1,000 people, and it was amazing. He actually had people he met, and he got people from the other across the river in Botswana, which means they have to go through all the immigration stuff. They have to go on a boat. It's very difficult to get across there and go, but they would go across to a different country to go to his church. And he had people, he had other people who were walking four or five, just hours walking to his church. And we were in this church, and this church wasn't finished. It was, we'll show pictures, not today, but another time. This church is unfinished. The walls were half done. This pastor, he's poor. And he lives in such a shack that he found the woman he wants to marry, and Brother Hernandez says, you can't move her into that. You got to get a house before you can get married. And what a good man he is, and just a good man working hard. And I was just so impressed in the service, and we had a great service, and he worked hard of a big day, and I think we had five or six people saved in his service. It was just wonderful. Everything was great. And I was so impressed with him. And so our church, we gave him $100 to help work on his building and to finish his building. Now, $100 isn't much in America. That'll buy you some screws and maybe a sheet of drywall. But there you can do a lot with $100 and when you're dealing with thatch roof and sticks for walls and things. And so we gave him $100. Why? Because we were so impressed, we wanted to help him. He had grace from us, okay? And God gives you grace. He says, I want to help you. You know what? You praise me in this trial. Let me give you some grace. You're trying to do my work. Let me give you some grace. You're doing your best for me. Let me give you some grace. I'm not going to take that trial away, Paul, but I'm going to give you grace to handle it. And my grace will be sufficient. And that's grace when God just starts favoring and wanting to pour out blessings. And he gives you help in other ways. And he always favors you and he blesses you. And when God's grace is upon you, you marvel at how good God's been to you. God just shown you favor. And by the way, if God's done that to you, and please understand, most of us don't know God's done that to us because we're so spoiled. We don't know how much grace God's given us. That you made it, you feel good today, that your health is decent, and just whatever God's given you grace in, 1,000 different things, that he's blessed you and your family, that you didn't get what you deserved. Not only you didn't get what you deserved, but he blessed you with things that you're pretty fortunate. Then make sure you thank God, and don't be a pouty and spoiled American that doesn't realize how good they have it. If your life should have been a lot worse, then thank God for his grace. And he gives grace, and grace helps you in everyday living. and we see that. Jesus is our source for grace. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, Jesus is our source of grace. I'm going to say this. Jesus was a walking piece of human grace. God in the flesh, walking around with grace just dripping off of him. He had grace for everybody. You ever notice how everywhere he walked, people would ask him for things they needed and he took care of them? Food, blindness, can't walk. You name it, Jesus had grace for everybody. Saved the most sinful. That was Jesus. He was just grace personified. John chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as a glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have received grace and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Boy, that's saying a lot of ways, isn't it? Grace is all over Jesus. You get to know Jesus, you come to Jesus, you'll find grace. Grace from God. And so grace is there for your everyday living. Let me tell you one more verse in Hebrews. We've got a little bit ahead here, but hearing it twice won't kill us, because we forget a lot, don't we? I laughed and heard that statement. It says, "I have a good memory, it just doesn't last for very long." Verse 16, you want some grace? Let's go to 15. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I've been finding myself more, probably about 3 weeks now, just going to God and say, "God, I need some grace in this thing. I need some grace in this thing. And just, Lord, I need your favor. I need your help. I need you to give me some grace. I don't know what to do about this. I need some strength. I'm failing in this. I need some grace." And just how often, within 24 hours, oftentimes, I'm sitting here saying, "Boy, that's not so bad. It's going to be okay." And just feeling the grace. A lot of times, things don't get better by nothing. But a grace, when you start getting grace, you start feeling Paul's, "You know what? I'll gladly glory in my infirmities if I can get this grace. This grace is so amazing. It just gives me the strength to make it. It gives me the wisdom." See, oftentimes what happens is you get to this point where you say, "I just can't do this." That's not bad. You're going to get to that point where you say, "I can't fix this. I can't." Then you start going, "Lord, I need some grace. I need some favor with you." That's not the point you give up and throw up your hands and say, "I just quit." No. That's when you get to the end of your rope, that's when you get God. That's when you need God. God gives you the strength to get to the end of your rope. You do all you can. God's giving you that strength. And then when you get to the point where you say, "I can't do more," you don't say, "I can't do anymore." You say, "Okay, God, I've done what I can do. Lord, I just need help. I need grace." And it says, if you need help, it says right there, come boldly to God's throne. It's called the throne of grace. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Why? "That we may obtain mercy." You messed up, maybe even. "And find grace to help in time of need." The favor of God. The hand of God that says, "Let me give you some strength. Let me give you some peace. Let me give you some results. Let me give you some change in your life." If you think you're going to abuse grace constantly and get grace, you're not going to. Romans 6 tells us that, other passages about how you treat grace. But understand, God, he's rich in grace. You can say, Lord, I haven't been what I should be. And he already knows that. And he'll say, okay, now you're... Because one of the ways, he says, God giveth grace unto the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So you, that grace you need to help in time of need, it is there for you. You have a God who's rich in grace. He has lots of favor, just like many of you. If the right person, even a person who's hurt you and done wrong, if they would come to you and say, I just need to be clear and clean about this. I have mistreated you. I've been wrong about this. I blew it and I ruined this situation. I probably don't deserve anything, but I really need your help. You know, you've been a kind person, might help. Especially if they're humble and honest. And you and I aren't more gracious than God. Many of our problems, we understand, are because we blew it. Okay? That's many of our problems. Some of them aren't. Some of them are just, that's life. We're in troubled times, you know, and we're in a messed up world and things happen. Paul's problem wasn't because he messed up, but some people did need grace. But understand, you have a God who's the God of all grace. And he initially gives you favor to save you, and he wants to pour out more grace upon you. We'll tell you how to next week. But just understand, you can go to God with your failures and say, I need grace. Lord, I need grace. And he has lots of grace for you. Amen? Amen. We follow what grace is? How many of you need more grace? All right, good. Good. Well, let's make sure we understand God has plenty. And you say, but I've done bad things where sin did abound. Grace did much more abound. Amen? All right. Next Sunday during the 10 o'clock hour, we will announce to you, we'll tell you next week what we're doing with the classes, and we'll have a schedule for a while we're going to have and set that out for you. And we'll let you know about that. And some things we'll be doing, but we'll be teaching this group.